Thank you for downloading this podcast from Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. For more podcasts and more information on your number one news and talk station, please visit 702.co.za or capetalk.co.za.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you like knowing, the brain is for you. If you like a challenge, the brain is for you. If you like to Google yourself once a month, the brain is even for you. Get to our website for more info, and you could be the brain.
You are on early Saturday early, and the time now is 5 minutes after six, which means that we are now in our health feature. And this week, we're going to be talking about cancer and all things cancer, remembering that yesterday was International Cancer Day. So I've got in studio with me Magdalene Sig... Oh boy, I'm going to butcher your surname. Seguin?
Seguin.
Seguin. Okay, Magdalene Seguin from Cancer, who is a clinical specialist, and Professor Michael Herbst, who is from the advocacy, who's from advocacy at the Cancer Association of South Africa. And we're going to be talking to them about all things cancer, and more importantly, what is happening with the treatment of cancer in South Africa? What is happening with the support of people who have cancer or who are in some way or form affected by cancer? So good morning to you both, and thank you for joining me in studio.
Good morning to you, and good morning to all your listeners. And it's lovely to be here. Thanks for having us.
No, it's great to have you here. Morning to you, Magda.
Good morning, and good morning to the listeners.
Now, just to kick us off, yesterday was World Cancer Day. Did we do anything in South Africa to actually mark this? And I asked the question because if I had not been preparing for this morning and actually chatting to you, I wouldn't have known. And yet cancer affects so many people. You would think that the same way that there's hoo-ha around HIV/AIDS on International AIDS Day, that we would have a lot more noise about International Cancer Day.
Yes, cancer is now, have been declared by the World Health Organization as the number one disease in the world.
Mm.
It kills more people than HIV, malaria, and TB combined globally.
Wow.
And World Cancer Day is celebrated each year, or memorized each year, to put a focus on the exponential spread of cancer in the world, and especially in developing countries.
Which would mean that this is something that's definitely an issue for us here in South Africa.
Absolutely. And in developing countries, it has been reported through research that 70% of the deaths are occurring in developing countries.
Oh, that's a scary number. That's
yes.
A scary number. If at any point you actually want to speak to Michael, Professor Michael Herbst, but he says we can call him Michael. If you want to chat to him, or you want to chat to Magda, who is a clinical specialist, do get in touch. Our lines are open, so you can get in touch on 011-883-0702 and on the Cape Town number 021-446-0567. I'll also be taking your questions and your comments on SMS, so you can send them to 31702 and 31567, and you can also email us on gubelod@702.co.za. That's Gubelo spelled GQIBELOD at 702.co.za. Now, this just coming to you, Michael, I was reading that there are over 200 types of cancers.
Yes. That is so, and it is a frightening number if one thinks of it.
Absolutely. I probably don't know of more than maybe 15 types.
Well, you see, it all depends on the type of tissue that's involved, as well as the organ in the body that is involved.
Okay.
And that is why the differentiation can be, there can be so many different types. You know, we always usually just think of breast cancer, cervical cancer,
absolutely,
lung cancer, skin cancer. But there's a variety because it can affect every cell in the human body.
Now, we were actually having a conversation just before the show talking about screening and also early detection. And I'm just wondering, now I speak as someone who has, you know, I've been very blessed to say I haven't been personally or directly affected by cancer in any way, whether it's me or a close member of my family. So I'm not very well versed when it comes to cancer, but I want to make sure that I know what's going on. So I'm just thinking, when someone goes in for a screening, do you have to say, for example, that there's anything in particular they should be looking for, or is it a screening that can literally pick up on any of those 200?
Yeah, just to put it in perspective, every country has got what we call priority cancers.
Yes.
And some cancers are more prevalent than others worldwide as well.
Mm.
So in South Africa, we have what we call the National Cancer Registry. And the registry has identified those priority cancers for South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the register publication that came out in 2001 is the last cancer registry statistics that we have. And one in six men in South Africa have a lifetime risk of cancer, mm-hmm. and one in eight women. And that gives us an overall figure of one in four South Africans that will be affected with cancer. And the top cancers are for women.
Yes.
That is breast, cervical, lung, mm-hmm. Colon, and uterus. And for men, it is prostate, also colon, also esophagus, and prostate is by far for men the biggest cancer, the priority cancer, with 1 in 23 men affected with prostate cancer. And that is why screening is so important. So the screening is actually focused also on preventable cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And although prostate cancer do not sometimes there is no signs, but it is very, very imperative for men to be able to check whether there is a prostate, especially middle-aged men. It could be due to infection, it could be due to enlargement, but just to go for checkups and see whether, you know, there's something that we call the prostate-specific antigen, and if it's a certain level, it may not indicate cancer if it's elevated, but it's just good to be safe. With women, of course, we teach the breast self-examination, which is if there's any lumps, and by the way, 90% of cancers are found by women themselves, they lump, and then they report to the medical practitioner. And if there's any lumps, then the woman is referred to for a clinical breast examination by a doctor.
So, if in the event that, for example, you don't have one of the high priority cancers that you're referring to, and I go in for that screening, can one be comfortable in saying that by virtue of the fact that I've gone in for the screening, should there be any kind of cells that are in any way affected, they will be picked up, even if they're not part of the priority, the high priority cancers that you were referring to?
There are certain tests, there are tumor markers, there are blood tests, there's radiological tests, various tests, and obviously, you know, people either go to a primary health clinic or they go to the general practitioner, and who would obviously know them to their clinical status to a certain extent. But also at the Cancer Association, we have mobile units. And in those mobile units, we do the PSA that I've been speaking about, and also pap smears. And we've got a new product that we call the PhotoFinder. It's a machine that can locates certain irregularities in your skin.
Okay.
Yeah, for skin cancers, because skin cancer is actually the number one cancer in South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. Over 20,000 people are diagnosed in South Africa with skin cancer every year, and 700 die from it.
And mostly, I think, Magdalene, it's important that just to say that we are second in the world after Australia as far as skin cancer is concerned. Number two country in the world for skin cancer.
You know, it's very important that you should mention that, because there is this stereotype, and I emphasize that it's a stereotype that I'm mentioning here, that black people don't get skin cancer.
Well, this is the popular belief, And it is so that people with fair skins, fair-colored skins, are more exposed to the possibility of getting skin cancer. But people with darker skins, they have no resistance, you know, that will prevent them from getting skin cancer. It may just take a little bit longer.
Okay, so and I think that's important because that's something funny enough that I still hear in this day and age where someone says, oh, come on, you know, I'm dark, particularly among black people, say I'm dark skinned, so I don't need to worry about sunscreen and such things because skin cancer doesn't affect me. So it's very important you mention that.
And talking skin cancer, a scary thing that came out just during the past week, it was actually released on the 26th of January, if I'm correct. And this really scared the daylights out of us because, you know, in most of the sunscreens, because we all propose to people to say, use sunscreens to block out the UVA and UVB rays. So, but we learned that it has now been established that sunscreens that contain vitamin A are the dangerous ones. That the vitamin A in the sunscreen, in the presence of direct sunlight, actually assists the development of tumors in the skin.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is something that the Cancer Association of South Africa, Cancer, is now particularly paying attention to. And we've got our whole research team working on this. And within the next week or so, we're going to have meeting upon meeting. And we are going to discuss this issue. And Cancer will come up with a position statement regarding this. And we will be working with people who manufacture sunscreens and distribute them in South Africa to inform the public and to also get vitamin A out of sunscreens, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I would just like to add that because we are just below the ozone layer in South Africa, as Australia is as well, we are highly at risk for skin cancer. And especially, you know, the most damage occurs before the age of 18 years. So children must really be kept out of the sun. They must be protected. People should not stay between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. in the sun unprotected. And sunscreen should be applied, you know, regularly. You know, you take a nut size and you repeat it, especially for the areas that are exposed, and to wear also a hat in the sun. The thing is that if you are in the midday sun unprotected, it takes only 11 minutes for cell damage. So it is very, very important that people protect themselves in the sun.
All the time. Yes. I've got an SMS here that says, hello, I was diagnosed with colon cancer when I was 24 years old. Family history. I am now 38. Major portion of colon was removed. How often should I have a scope? Must I do it annually?
Thank you for the question. Very, very important question. Colon cancer, as I said, is part of the top five for both women and men. It's higher in men. And what you're mentioning is probably hereditary polyposis, which is a precursor to cancer. And where people get cancer at a very young age, that is one of the causes of colon cancer. You've successfully had surgery, you say. So I would say that a yearly checkup with your medical practitioner would be advised.
Okay. If you have any questions regarding anything to do with cancer, I do have experts here in studio with me who can answer your questions. So do get in touch with us, and you can put your questions through to them on 011-883-0702 and on the Cape Town number 021-446-0567. Also taking your SMSs on 31702 and 31567. Lynn here says, why isn't there panic regarding cancer in the world? The doctor's toolkits are empty. They mess around with lethal drugs, which make the patient feel worse, and the mortality does not change. It is a nightmare that too few survive. And this comes from Lynn.
Yes, Lynn, excellent question. It's only in recent years that the focus has turned to a non-communicable disease, of which cancer is part. And the International Union of Cancer Control, of which cancer is part, have in 2008 in Geneva at the World Cancer Congress decided to put the highlight on lifestyle-related cancers, especially because of the preventable cancers that that have to be acted upon. And this declaration was signed, the World Cancer Declaration, which yesterday the Cancer Association countrywide has asked people to sign.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be, there has been last year, March 2010, there has been a United Nations special session regarding non-communicable diseases to put it on the Millennium Development Goals, because it did not contain.
Very important.
Very important. So we're really moving very fast. Our Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Sue Jansen van Rensburg, will be going to Spain now in a month's time to sit with cancer leaders, worldwide cancer leaders, prior to the September United Nations meeting again. And we have all the cancer associations in the world or non-governmental organizations have successfully lobbied the United Nations, and it's coming to a head now that cancer will be put on the world agenda.
I'm happy to hear that. Yes, go ahead, Michael.
That was one of the important things that we launched yesterday, was the signing of this declaration to really bring the world leaders to recognize the importance of the cancer burden in the world at the moment. And we are asking every member of the public to support us in this, because the more signatures we have going to the United Nations in September, the better.
And how can they support you?
The best way to support us is during the Shave-a-thons that are coming up in March, between the 3rd and the 6th of March, the registers will be available for people to sign there.
Okay.
But people who don't participate in the Shave-a-thon, we're inviting them to go onto our website, www.cancer.org.za.
Okay.
And they will be able to access the signing of this declaration there as well. It's crucial.
Absolutely.
Because together we are stronger.
All the time.
And that's the motto for this year.
And you're speaking to the converted right here. I've got an SMS here from Philip that says, if cancer is the most prevalent in developing countries, what are the prevalent forms of... Okay, you did answer that. But then he goes on to ask the question, what are the most likely causes as well?
Yes, through research, 90% of cancers have now been established that it is through the environment. And when we talk about the environment, you know, I'm very happy for that question, because tobacco use is really one of the main causes, and that is part of the environment.
Yes.
And that is why we've got the stringent legislation in South Africa. You know, we've got the Tobacco Act, and you know, there's amendments in 2007 and 2008, and there's another one coming up. And that is because the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control have been signed by all the WHO UN member countries, and we have what we call the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, and South Africa signed all the articles, and that is why we have to have all these amendments. And research has shown that it's got gone down considerably,
yes,
but still there's this. The tobacco companies are really encouraging the youth to smoke,
and women.
Yeah.
Major targeting of women now.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
And you know, people think mostly that when we talk tobacco, they think only of lung cancer. But that is not so. The use of tobacco products leads to, or exposes the body to, many other types of cancers, not only cancer of the lung.
Yes, and talking about the environment, it's also viruses. There's viruses that we know cause cancer. For example, the human papilloma virus that causes cervical cancer. And there are two strains. There's over 100 strains of human papilloma virus, but two of them have been identified as cancer-causing. And that is why the vaccines have been developed. And we're not there yet, but I think it will take some time before, you know, there are some first world countries that have implemented it, but it costs a lot of money. And also...
Okay. No, I thought you were going to go on, because I was going to say, you know, I'm so glad that you spoke of how smoking actually does affect not just
the lungs,
that it's got so many other things involved, and that cancer is actually the biggest killer at the moment, particularly in developing countries. Because for me, all of this is coming together as you're speaking, and I'm thinking every time. And on the show in particular, every time you talk anything about smoking laws, people go crazy saying it's unfair. But the way, the context in which you've just put it, makes me a complete convert. I don't smoke. However, now I'm a firm believer in not only those rules, but I want to sign what Mike was talking about, because if that's what's happening at the moment, every single South African needs to jump on board, because in one way or another, even though it might not affect us personally, it certainly does affect us. I've got Raphael from Highlands North on the line. Good morning, Raphael.
Good morning. I had a colonectomy 10 years ago. Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I want to know, what is the average remission on colon cancer?
Can you please repeat what you said was the operation that you had?
I had a colonectomy, the colon operation.
Oh, you cancer. Had a colectomy.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yes, colon cancer is one of the cancers that can be very successfully treated, especially with modern protocols. And, there's also been drug development that has been, very good. As far as the recurrence rate is concerned, that actually, everybody that is being diagnosed with cancer is an individual. And, every person's individual clinical or physiological makeup, one cannot really say, but I'm not so sure whether any studies have been done in South Africa. But what I can say is that colon cancer, there should be more look into it into South Africa as far as prevention is concerned. There is a test that one can do yourself, which is called a fecal occult test. You can buy the test or get the test from your doctor. But then again, the doctor will be able to tell you, how to go about it, to counsel you. Because if you take anything that might affect the blood test, the fecal occult test, if you had anything that contained iron, for example, if you've eaten anything, then it might affect the test. If you have concerns about the cancer recurring, I would say that, and also what brought on the cancer, was it perhaps hereditary? And then there one could, have regular checkups with your medical practitioner.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Magda. Just coming to another SMS I've got here. This is from Richard in Paulsdorf. He says, how does tobacco snuff compare when it comes to cancer?
It's still a tobacco product. And I spoke to some of the American people, and I was specifically thinking of the non-smoking types of tobacco. Mm. And this includes now snuff, snus, which we don't know all that well in South Africa. It comes from Sweden, and it's like a chewing tobacco.
Yeah, no, I remember old people used to chew a lot.
Yes, but in Sweden you get what they call snus, and it's tobacco contained in a little envelope, and you put it in between the gum and the cheek, and the juice sort of dissolves in the mouth, and some people swallow quite a lot of it. In any form, tobacco is dangerous. It is not good at all. And I was talking to the Americans and asking them, what is the incidence of cancer of the nose and the mouth and throat area? Because we see, especially the baseball players and people like that, they're chewing tobacco all the time and spitting on the field and so on.
Yes.
And yes, no, the incidence is higher with people who chew or snuff or take the tobacco in the form of snuff.
All right.
It increases cancer in the areas of the body that is exposed.
Okay.
Can I just add that, there are two very important other products as regards tobacco. One is what is called the Hubbly Bubbly.
The hookah pipe.
Okay, yes.
And the other thing is secondhand smoke as regards children, and that is why the last amendment was that you cannot smoke in your car with a child under the age of 12 years, because secondhand smoke is actually much more toxic than first-hand smoke.
That's very interesting, because we've had those conversations, but we're coming up to 6:30 now, which is yes. Eyewitness News, but I want us to start moving towards one children to say, how are children affected by cancer? Because we're finding that more and more children are being affected by cancer in some shape or form. But also touch on what you're talking about, people not being allowed to actually smoke with a child under 12 in the car. I see it all the time. I just don't know what to do about it. So love us to also just talk about that, because it's happening all the time. It's a law, but very few seem to be abiding by it. And they know measures as well to punish those who are breaking that law. You're on Saturday Early, and I've got in studio with me Michael, who is an executive manager from Advocacy at Cancer Association of South Africa, and Magda, who is a clinical specialist, and we're chatting to them about all things related to cancer. My lines are open, and you can ask them questions or send your SMSs through. Coming to your SMSs now, this one says, I have breast cancer for 2 years, and it looks like a red plum. My spine got very painful. I am on herbs which keep the tumor from growing. I am fine. Parley root is excellent. What is parley root? And is this something that people should consider, and alternative vaccines or means of treating cancer?
This is, in a way, maybe my choice of words is not correct, but it is disturbing to hear that
okay.
people are conned into using alternative medications that haven't been scientifically investigated. We don't know what these things do to the body.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure what the long-term effects of these remedies that people use. And I think sometimes we can refer to them as quackery.
Okay.
And I wouldn't advise anybody to go onto any medication that hasn't been scientifically investigated.
Okay.
No, fair enough. And then I've got a comment here that says, women married to circumcised men are at low risk. What is this? Is this a fact? Is this myth? Is there any truth to it at all?
It is a fact, but I think we should change the statement and say that women who are involved with men that are circumcised may be at a lower risk. But this does not say that the risk is so low that the use of a condom is excluded.
Okay.
Condom use always, especially if it's not your monogamous only sexual partner.
Now that's interesting for me, because I always think condom use, and I think STDs, VDs, and the works. I've never really thought of cancer.
We must remember we spoke earlier about the human papilloma virus,
okay,
which causes cervical cancer, and we know that men are the ones who spread the papilloma virus. So again, condom usage, very, very important.
Can I just add about the concern she has about her spine? She's mentioned
yes.
something about her spine. Now, cancer of the breast has favorite areas where it spreads to. Namely, not in any specific order, but the lung. Then, of course, the lymph nodes
yes.
first, and then the lung, and the brain and the bone. And I would really advise you to really go and have a checkup and have a mammogram, all the tests, to be able to identify what type of cancer it is,
mm-hmm.
What are the options, and she can make an informed decision then.
Okay. Lorraine in Rivoli, thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. What I'd like to know is the skin cancer on the back, because one cannot really examine your back to see if you have got, even though you got your back, it's always closed so fast. And another question too, like all these products that you get at the outlets, clicks or whatever. So do we have to go through each and every item if you buy in the skin screen protection to see if there's vitamin A in, because we were not aware that the vitamin A is actually the one that causes cancer. And another thing too, at the government hospitals, they seem to be very reluctant to give women a pap smear. They say you can only have it once every 5 years or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a big issue also when you go in and you are really concerned. And how else would one know that if you have got cancer in the blood or anywhere else besides? Because in the breast, women can feel it when they do the self-examination, and in the female area, then, mm-hmm. you know, by doing a pap smear or
okay.
being uncomfortable, then you know that you have got it.
All right. Thanks.
Can I listen?
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thanks, Lorraine.
Lorraine, you've asked so many questions.
And three.
you seem to be well informed in any event. Let's talk about the skin cancer story and the sunscreen products that are available. You know, even cancer didn't know about the vitamin A. As I said, it was only, the information was only released around about the 26th of January this year.
Okay.
So we are looking into vitamin A as well. But I would advise you to look at the sunscreens that you use and use a sunscreen of SPF 50 minimum and use it regularly. And then now with the newest information available, check to see that it doesn't contain vitamin A. Because of the tests and the scientific investigations now proving that vitamin A in sunscreens in the presence of direct sunlight is a problem. So if you want to use a night cream that contains vitamin A, that will be okay because you're sleeping.
Okay. And then the second question?
Lorraine, I would just touch on the first question again. Lorraine mentioned about her back. Most dermatologists, as far as we've been informed, have got what we call a photo finder in South Africa. It's a computerized machine that can pick up any irregularities in your skin. And then if there's nothing, then you can go back and have it rechecked to see if there's been any changes of anything that is slightly abnormal, if it has the growth has increased or changed it in any way.
The wonderful thing is, you know, it's computerized. So if you go for a repeat test, it compares the latest picture to the previous picture. And the smallest change or alteration in anything in the skin is picked up and the computer points it out.
Yes. And also, you know, we do have a sunscreen manual for teachers, which is on our website. It has got extensive information.
Okay.
And also we have position statements and fact sheets regarding skin cancer.
And please go to www.cancercansa.org.za and you'll find the information there.
All right. And we've got quite a few calls, but very quickly, just your thoughts on government clinics not wanting to give a pap smear more often than every 5 years?
Yes. The government has got a policy guideline which outlines that a woman can have three pap smears after the age of 30 at a 10-year interval, because cervical cancer actually takes a very long time to develop. Take up to 10 to 15 years.
Okay, so you okay with the
with this, and the government has just informed us, because cancer has got an excellent working relationship with the Department of Health. So they've just informed us that they are re-looking at the policy guideline.
Okay, perfect. Andrew in Benoni, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, morning, Andrew. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got two questions, and I'll just listen to the answers on the radio.
No problem.
I was diagnosed with tongue cancer in October 2006. I had a tumor on the left-hand side of my tongue, 4 centimeters, and then I had what they call a commando operation to remove that tumor, and they rebuilt up my jaw. I just want to know, what possibly caused the tongue cancer? That's what's my question. And then what is the lifespan of somebody who has had tongue cancer? I'll listen to the audience on the radio.
Thanks, Andrew. That's Andrew from Benoni.
Thank you so much for the question. Andrew, you're a survivor. Surgery is one of the, one of the main or of the first treatment protocols for cancer. And not all cancers can be treated by surgery, of course, but you've had a huge, major operation. And as per the causes is that, you know, every cancer's got its own contributing factors. We don't know overall what the cause of cancer is. But contributing cancers for what we call head and neck cancers, oral cancers, and the upper respiratory tract, is smoking. And also, you know, alcohol use together with smoking even compounds it. So those are the two main factors. But, it's not because you have smoked. We don't know. As I said early on, every person is an individual. And, you should not feel any guilt at all if you have used alcohol or cigarettes.
All right. The time now is 2 minutes before quarter to seven. So it's just before quarter to seven. We're back with more of your calls and SMSs after this. You are on Saturday early. Coming straight to you, Dawn in Randburg. You've been holding a while. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Hello. I'm the one who sent the SMS.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It wasn't parsley root. It's parsley root.
Oh, okay.
Parsley root is very, very good. And I'm fine. I've had it for over 2 years, 2 years and 3 months. It hasn't affected me at all.
Okay.
It's my spine. Something went wrong with my spine. Mm. But these herbs, and I would advise people to read the book called Health Through God's Pharmacy by Maria Treben. It is a miracle book.
Thank you so much, Dawn. You take care.
Thanks. Bye.
That's Dawn in Randburg. Frank in Killarney, good morning.
Morning. Prolotherapy for pain.
So, Frank, I can't hear you properly.
Prolotherapy.
Yes?
What is it actually? It's been suggested that I have this treatment for pain.
Do you perhaps mean phototherapy?
Yes.
Phototherapy for pain.
Photo,
yes, it's called phototherapy.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is at the moment, it's not actually a recognized treatment in cancer or meant for pain. There is also infrared light that is used for pain. But those two therapies are mainly used in the United States, and not much research has been coming to the fore. I know there's people that are even working in South Africa on the research, but it is not actually one of the recognized scientific treatments for cancer.
What is it?
It is a light source. That is directed at either infrared light. Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Interesting. Andre in Cresta, good morning.
Yeah, morning. Just one question. I listened to the answer on the radio.
Yes.
I'm going for brachytherapy for a prostate treatment and things like that. But I also scanned the cancer and apricot kernels. So I've been taking this apricot kernel. So I just want to know if they can tell me if there's going to be any effect, or will it do something for the prostate cancer. Thank you.
Thanks, Andre.
Thanks, Andre. I will answer the question on the brachytherapy, and Professor will inform you about the apricot kernels. Brachytherapy is there's two kinds of radiotherapy. It's called teletherapy, that is from far, and that is with a big machine. And brachytherapy, it's a source, a radioactive source that is put very close to the tumor. And it's a very successful treatment for early stage prostate cancer. It's what we call intense modulated radiotherapy. And all the best for your treatment.
And then apricot grain treatment.
Kernels.
Apricot kernel treatment. What is
Andre,
that?
Andre, I can remember very well when I was a child, we used to break open the peach pips and things like that and to eat it. It tastes like almond. It's bitter. And I can well remember sitting under the apricot tree, and we were breaking open the pips to eat the kernels, and I got a hiding for this. And it took many years for me to become an adult to really understand. It is very toxic. But it's one of the latest, I want to call it popular remedies that people are talking about again. Mm-hmm. And we recently had an official inquiry on our website as to apricot kernels. It is very toxic, and please rather stay away from it. Go to your medical practitioner, get all the scientific information of what dangers are involved in taking these products that contain apricot kernels.
I would just like to add as to the breakdown of the product that is being used in alternative cancer, it contains cyanide, it contains benzene, and glucose as a
byproduct.
So this treatment is unfortunately now in South Africa. It is very detrimental, and I would really, really like to put out a warning out there to the public not to use this treatment. It has been discredited by all the health governing bodies in the world.
Okay. And then lastly, Elaine in Kells River. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Good morning. My brother is diagnosed with cancer. He's never, ever smoked. How does this come about?
Could you just tell her what type of cancer he was diagnosed with?
I don't know. You have to go the 17th to find out exactly what cancer he has.
You will recall that Magdalene earlier referred to every person as being a unique individual. And this we must never forget. You know and I know of people who have smoked all their lives and they may be the age 80, 90 and they've never had cancer of any sort or cancer of the lungs. And then we know on the other hand of people who never smoked during their lives and they are diagnosed with cancer of the lung. We must remember each of us are unique and we are exposed to different types, especially different types of man-made chemicals and other environmental factors. And it is the interaction between our own unique physiology and the environment that can cause cells to start rapid growth of unhealthy cells and we get resulting cancer.
And then just coming to some SMSs here. This one says, do spices and food colorants play any role in colon cancer? This is from John in Pretoria.
Yes, John, not only in colon cancer, but in many other types of cancer as well. It's what we put on our body and what we take into our body that is important. And colorants, yes, they do play a part. We know, for instance, that certain yellow colors causes hyperactivity in children. Mm. But that's just another type of effect of some of the colorants.
I would just like to add that, you know, they, as I said earlier, they are contributing factors to certain type, to a certain type of cancer. And with colon cancer, you know, we, as far as chemicals is concerned, we've got the nitrites and the nitrates. That is a catalyst, you know, for mutation of the cells. And also, you know, colorants, it depends, you know, which colorants. There is actually a list of colorants and the toxicities that one can find. And we will be putting out our nutrition booklet very soon, and then you will be able to access it on our website.
And then just lastly, Jack says, why is cervical cancer vaccine so expensive?
It is expensive worldwide, and that is actually the problem for countries to implement it. And that's why I said, you know, it's mainly the developed countries that have started. But I think there will be there is ongoing negotiations with the two pharmaceutical companies involved, with the government to see how the prices can be brought down.
And the cause for the high price is, of course, you know, millions and millions, I can actually say billions of US dollars goes into the research to develop these products.
Okay.
And the pharmaceutical companies want to get their money back for other and additional research that they're doing. So, and that adds to the cost of medicines.
All right. It is now just before 5 to 7. We are still with our guests and they'll be giving a little more advice on now how to reduce the burden of cancer after this. Before talking about the reducing the burden of cancer, I just want to read one quick SMS. Oh, it's just disappeared on me. Someone was wanting to get an opinion on painkillers. Citol, I think it was, and IP6, IP Max 6. This is a cancer patient and they want to use this for pain. Is this okay?
I cannot comment on that because I'm not familiar with the substance. But, you know, cancer pain is not just physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual. And as far as the physical pain is concerned, the World Health Organization has what we call a ladder. And that has been implemented worldwide in palliative care. You know, how to address cancer pain, how to address the breakthrough pain. I can't elaborate on that because the time is very short, but it's very specific. You know, I'll just mention the first three. It is non-opioids, and then anti-inflammatories perhaps, and there is pain clinics in South Africa that deal with cancer pain, or not just cancer pain, but also specifically with cancer pain therapies. And then opioids is the main one for especially for refractive pain in cancer.
And then let's just talk a little now in these last few minutes about reducing the burden of cancer. Let me be clear here. When we talk about reducing the burden of cancer, we're talking about reducing the probability of one getting cancer. Are there things that people can actually do, or is this something you have these cells that you are born with and that's it for you?
Thank you. That is, I think, it should be the cherry on top for this morning's discussion. And that is, we must give people some advice on how they can prevent themselves from being targeted or being exposed to most probably developing cancer of one or other sort. There are specific risk factors that we know of, and these risk factors include what we were talking about earlier today is tobacco use, and it includes all tobacco products. So refrain from using any tobacco products. Being overweight or obese, that is another very important risk factor. We know that people who are obese or are overweight, and this includes children especially as well, that it predisposes them to many different types of cancers. Then low intake of fruit and vegetables is another risk factor. So make sure you eat your fruit and veggies. They're important, not only for the antioxidants and things that they contain, but it keeps the body healthy.
So our mothers were right.
Yes. Physical inactivity is another risk factor. So we've got to be physically active. You know, walk instead of driving all the time. Go for a short run, etc.
Take the stairs.
Alcohol usage is another risk factor. Magdalene has been mentioning that earlier as well. Protect yourself against any form of sexually transmitted infections. Especially here, we're talking about the HPV, human papilloma virus. And if you're not in a monogamous relationship with one individual that you know, always use a condom.
All right. No, thank you so much. Quick one, Martha.
I would just, my last words would be that 40% of cancers are preventable. Mm-hmm. And also, Professor Herbst has been saying is scientific results of 40 years of study worldwide by special experts.
Thank you so much. I've learned so much, and I wish we had another hour to chat because we still have so many calls and SMSs we couldn't take, but this was informative. Thank you for joining us. Please do visit www.cancer.org.za for more information or if you want to talk to them further. And we will also be podcasting this on our 702 website, and we'll also 702 and Cape Talk, and we'll put the website address of the Cancer Association as well on our website. We've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much for all your calls and SMSs, and I hope that you all have a fantastic weekend.